Okay, gentlemen, we are continuing in Simon Tov Tzadiches, new topic, Sivtes, page 216. We're going to be discussing tonight the halacha of a bechor. Very interesting shaila, really. Very interesting shaila. So we know, as follows, just as an introductory statement, a bechor is an animal's firstborn, and normally there's some kedusha attached to the animal. So a bechor has got some kedusha, and therefore is not really fit for consumption. Normally it's got a certain kedusha. Unless it has a mum. If it's got a blemish, then it is free to be consumed by anybody and enjoyed by anybody. Therefore, and really the way it works is that in order to paskin as to whether the blemish is an invalidating blemish, or perhaps not, it's got to be brought to an expert who decides as to whether this blemish is a... it's got to be decided as to whether this blemish is a... invalidating serious blemish, or it's a non-important blemish. Now, we normally try it to be a proper blemish because that enables us to eat the animal. Now, we're going to be learning, can this process of showing the bechor to a chacham, an expert, can this process be done on Yom Tov or not? Can I show my firstborn to a expert, to a chacham, on Yom Tov, and he's going to tell me whether this animal is blemished and thereby permitted for eating, or it's not blemished and therefore unfit for consumption. Can I do this process on Yom Tov, or does it need to be done dafke before Yom Tov? It's a very interesting shaila, because it's going to be in a way quite similar to other even more common shailas. Because we'll discuss that soon. Prior to doing so in Sivtes, I will not fail to mention a Mishnah over here, which we started off yesterday. We didn't, however, complete it. I want to discuss that, because that is very relevant as well. As prior to going to Sivtes, I want to point out Mishnah Sif Cotton, Mem Tes. We learned yesterday that animals which have a trefa, of course, you cannot eat on Yom Tov and any other day. But if it's got a suspicion that perhaps there is a teifa, what happens to such an animal? So I want to look at Mishnah Bosif Cotton Mem Test, because it is very relevant to us. So Avul Gav Disyalat Beyesem Vuadin Besofik Nekuva Bekoitz. If you find a chicken which has got a thorn or a needle or anything like that in you see there's a hole in the chicken. You are allowed to shecht a chicken, although you have evidence of having been pierced. And even more so, if there is no reason to assume there's any problems with the animal, obviously allowed to shecht it. What happens though in a place that you have got very commonly, you've got very frequently, you've got teifas? There's a high percentage of teifas. In some places, in some days, in some areas, in some, it's also related to winter and summer. I remember my brother-in-law explaining that to me. I forgot what the exact details were. Winter or summer, one of them has got more teifas than others. I don't know why, but there is some. Winter is worse? Bronchitis, yeah, perhaps that's what it is. Yeah, so nevertheless, it is fine to shech them. You don't have to worry that perhaps the ein lo nuloch shema yimotze teifa. You can just assume that it's fine. Take the chicken, shecht it, and that's fine. The ma'amidino is a becheskes heter, because we assume that it is. We assume that there is a majority is fine. The roiv behema shepa oilam chero is sent, because the majority of animals are fine. Therefore, we assume this is fine too. V'yeish choil kim da'ot disagreeing opinions. The ikad din and mechab v'soim din lishchol behemokim dekeresa. Who are din behemokim shemetev natsuris kamak chero is. There are, however, poskim who are not so confident about that. I'm skipping three lines. The achronim have therefore decided. Yeishlochus ledezu v'lehachmir. He said, "Lemaise, we have to be machmir and go with a stringent opinion." If it's 50% ratio of kosher, 50% ratio of non of treifas. Nevertheless, we are stringent. For the mechze treifas, the motzim treifas, gemuras mitzad adin. He says it doesn't. You have to be stringent if it's 50-50. I will velahavachi. I'm skipping again two lines. If there is no 50% treifas, haminik shalishchot shum behemah biyomtev afil echad leshricha treifas. Kol kach shemati motzim treifa. Havel oif noeg lishchot biyomtev. That's really the line I wanted to see. Chickens, the minig is to shecht. Animals, the minig is not to shecht. My great grandfather, sorry about some mishpachalogy, I'm sorry about that. My great great grandfather was wrote a sefer on Hilchas Shechita. His name was Rabbi Saul Knopfelmacher, and he wrote a sefer on Hilchas Shechita, which is interesting because it was written in German, pure German, but in Lashon HaKodesh letters. So it's a quite interesting. I think there's a name for that. Judeo German, and it was everything is literal German, but it's written in Aleph Beis letters, and it's a Hilch. It's called Beis Zevach, and it's the same from Hilch Shechita.
The term seems to follow Hirsch's Persian Chumash, also written in German.
No, there was in German proper with German letters, in Latin letters. No, it wasn't. Yeah. However, some halachic publications were written more like a censored kind of versions, were written in German because that was the familiar language, but they still wrote in Aleph based letters. And so was this publication, the Geschichte, Beis Zevach, Rabbi Saul Knopfelmacher, published 1847. Now, there he writes about the Shechita of Eufus, and it seems to be they're still very common it was still very common to Shecht. Oops, something gone wrong.
Mr. Sprite can't hear.
Oh, I see. I just saw him a few minutes ago.
Text.
Oh, I see.
You also can't hear anything.
So it was. It seems that it was still very common until World War II, or precise until the freezers were common. Until freezers were common, people used to shech chickens on Yom Tov. So probably your grandmother probably still shech the chickens on Yom Tov. Until freezers were common. Animals, however, big, larger animals, were, says Mishnah Berurah already, and there was already a few generations before that, people stopped shechting larger gases, larger animals. But chickens was common until there was freezers. So, right, but nowadays, it's just not done anymore. What does he say? Yeah, Hoshana. On Hoshana we don't shecht, that's right, yeah. Yeah. Shona, they refrain from shechting. Yeah, I think there's two reasons for that. Tzav Alechaim, which is a bit questionable, and also because... Yeah. Yeah, okay, whatever. So Lemaisa, that's with regards to... So we have got to know that Lemaisa, we don't shecht we don't shecht larger animals. Oifers, it's just a recent minhag to refrain. And the reason for that is because we suspect of more treifas with larger animals than with oifas. And having said that, we move on to the b'chol shalas yiftes.
Is there a minute to refrain from
oifas?
Is it practical or we don't need it?
No, I think that it's a good question. Your question really is, what is actually halachically considered a minik? When does something which from practical origin actually become a minik? It's a really good shaila. I thought a lot about this. When is something which is of practical reason only, when does it actually start to become officially a minik? So I don't have the full answer. What do you say? Here, the reason why we stop shechting chickens is purely because we've got the facilities. So when will that actually kick in and be called a minik?
And the moshav I didn't have, so can I?
Definitely. If you know how to shecht and you've got a chicken in your back garden, yeah. Okay, Sif Tess, Bechoyer, a Bechoyer animal, Bismanaz nowadays, She'enu Yochel Shochte Beloimum, which we may not shech a Bechoyer animal without blemish. Ein Chochom, Stephen, are you on?
Yes,
good to hear you. Ein Shochte Beloimum, a Bechoyer animal which cannot be shechter without blemish. Ein chochom yochoy leroysoy. An expert, a chochom, may not see leroysoy, may not see the animal piyomtev on yomtev v'miyesh poim as to whether it's got a blemish. Amum, you don't know. You may not check a bechoyer on yomtev. Va'afilu ve'ini ve'nimava ve'ro'o. Even if the chochom couldn't help himself, and he checked the animal as to whether it's got a blemish or not. When he finds, no, it's got a blemish, it's only may not shechted. Although it has clearly been identified now as an animal which may be shechted. But since the Chacham checked it and paskened it on Yom Tov, that now makes it into an animal which cannot be shechted on Yom Tov. But im noila bemumoi, if he was born, you know what? Let's stop here for a moment. We're going to the latter case later on. Let's just see a few mishnah berurahs over here because there is some fascinating implications of that. Sif cotton nun ein chacham yochel. Okay, bein shomam b'yom tov, bein shomam erev yom tov. We have now learned that a chacham may not check the animal to investigate as to whether it's got a blemish or not. Now, do not differentiate as to whether the blemish was born. Do you say a blemish is born? No, you don't say blemish is born. You say the blemish is
developed.
Good. You do not differentiate as to whether the blemish was developed on Yom Tov or prior to Yom Tov. Don't say, yeah, I understand a blemish which was certainly there before Yom Tov. That, I hear you've got to see to that before Yom Tov. But surely a blemish which was developed on Yom Tov, surely that one you can check on Yom Tov. No, we don't differentiate. Even if the blemish developed on Yom Tov, you may not show it to Chacham on Yom Tov. Why is that? Mishum de Mechzik Mesakin, says the Mishnah Berurah, fascinating. Mishum de Mechzik Mesakin. Now, what's Mechzik Mesakin? Mechzik Mesakin means it appears as if you're making a tikkun. What's a tikkun? What is a tikkun? Right, tikkun means I am fixing it. In what way am I fixing the animal? That's right, because now I'm able to shecht it. Prior to the investigation, I was unable to shecht it. Now, I am able to shecht it. That is mechzik mesaken. It is not mesaken proper because it's... Why is it not mesaken proper? Pardon? That's right. It doesn't undergo a physical change. Tikkun really, on a Torah level, on the Raisa level, is that I fix the door. If I unblock the hole, I don't know. If I attach and I fix and I think that undergoes a physical change, that's tikkun d'oraisa. Here, the animal looked the same before my investigation and past my investigation. It looks identical. Nothing's really changed besides the fixing. Nevertheless, on a rabbinical level, it's still considered a tikkun. That's why it's considered mechzik mesakhan on a rabbinical level. Now, let us therefore ask a fascinating question which the Mishnah Berurah investigates. I think it's a fascinating shaila. Rabbi Yisai, it's a fascinating shaila. We have now learned, again, I have got this animal over here. I cannot show it to the Rav, why not? Because if the Rav paskens that it's good or no good, it's mechzik mesakein. Let me therefore ask a question. What about if I've got a fleishik pot? And you know what? Some Weetabix spilt on it. I don't know. Oh, I've got a knife, which by mistake is a milchik knife. I use it for fleishik. You name it. And it happens to be that my next door neighbor is a Rav, a Dayan. And I want to ask him, and let's divide only any Yitzhar Shaila. Okay, there's an Erov, or I don't have to, whatever. I want to show it now to the Rav if I can use this knife on Shabbos. I want to ask my next door neighbor who is a Dayan if I can use this pot on Shabbos. I want to ask my next door neighbor who is a Dayan, I want to ask him any other halachic matter which is, can I do so, yes or no? Surely, by him telling me now that, no, you can use this knife, it's now, should also be, machzik mesaken, no different than this animal. Again, the animal I'm not allowed to bring. Shulchan Aruch says explicitly, I may not bring this animal to the Rav because he's going to tell me you can use it. It changes halachic status, and I'm therefore now. The animal is now is. Why is it machzik mesaken? Because he's telling me it's paskening and it's now I can use it. So now it's telling me the halachic status of it, and that's why I'm allowed to, and that's why I'm not allowed to bring it to, it's mechzik mesaken, I'm not allowed to bring it to the Rav. So why is it different than my knife, than my plate, than my pot, that if I bring it to the Rav, he's going to tell me, no, it's fine, you can use it. Everyday occurrence as opposed to b'choy, which is a, it's rare, okay. So therefore, what's the difference if it's rare or frequent?
It's
You're just saying there's a chilek as to whether he's saying because of its frequency. Let's think this through. Because of its frequency of having normally their shilas, that would not change. So therefore, what? Since however bechoyer, since it's rare, that would be more of a shaila. Since bechoyer, you're trying to figure out why the frequency should make a difference. Perhaps. What would you say?
I was wondering whether the ninth pot or whatever, if he, at the moment it was, as far as you know, it was kosher. Now you're clearing, has it become trade? So it's not a tikkun if he says it's trade, because like that, it's a kilkul.
Kilkul. You said that, what's
I mean, you could say the same bechor, it's a kilkul, gabi the kedusha of the bechor, but it's, the mice, he wants to use this bechor, he wants to shechta and eat.
What is the point? The point is, I think we're there. That since the difference is in what? That.
So, what are you coming to do with this knife?
I want to allow it. So I want to allow using.
It was already kosher. And
it was kosher until yes, until I use it for my cheese.
And now you're
but now it's been, now I use it for my cheese. Now I'm not sure. It's a suffix, like the mum, like this animal. The bechor is also a suffix. I don't know if it's blemished or not. I need to check it with the rav.
Right, but it's a tikkun gabi the behemoth because you want to shechta and eat.
I think the behemoth itself doesn't really care if it shechta this way or the other way.
If it changed status, the pot, then it's.
Oh, you've seen it because. Okay, I think. Okay, I think it's pretty. Any other swallows? What a difference!
What are you saying?
There was a Cheskas Kashas, which was. You're saying, Rabbi Tepper says, there was a Cheskas Kashas. At one point, this knife was 100% okay. Now I've messed it up because I use it for my cheese. That pot, I messed it up because I spilled some cholent on it. Whatever. So it was once okay. There was an established chazoka of kashos. It's now been spoiled. I want to re-establish its initial state. As opposed to when it comes to the animal, it was born as a bechoyer, and it was born with one big question mark. Is it blemished or is it unblemished? I never had any status quo. I never had any clear, halachic, defined status. So therefore, now that I'm showing it to the Rav, it's a far greater tikkun, a far greater achievement. Because I'm not re-establishing a previous status, I am actually making it into initial status. Is that what you're saying? Am I expanding your...
Why is that tikkun and not kilkul? Because the animal was a bechor, it had kedusha, which meant...
Ah, you're saying because that's what you're saying, that it had kedusha. Well, what happens if it was born with a blemish? Then he had never had kedusha in the first place. Okay, but I think we're really close. Mishnah Berurah says a fascinating svara, but I think it's very interesting. It's something to think about. The awesome one. Veloy domi leshahirot ena isavet veloy domi leshahirot. It is not comparable to any other psak which I may want to ask a rav who had died to pasken. She'ena isavet toloy beiras piamoye. Because when it comes to a bechor, the status of the animal is not dependent on the you're right, thank you. Shaina Isava had a tolerable ras piamoy elobiedia sadova. When you ask a rav the pot or the knife or the plate or the glass or the whatever I'm asking him, he's not really, it's just a matter of, you know, if I knew Mishnah Berurah, I could pasken it myself. If I had learned Yeridah properly, I could have pasken it myself. There is nothing actually happening or changing to this item. The item was, and is, nothing has changed whatsoever. It's a matter of knowledge. The psak is not really changing anything. If I knew, then I wouldn't have had to ask. As opposed to the bechor, there it's different. Even if he has a proper mum, as long as a chacham did not pasken and its status, or the process of gimel adyotis, which is similar than a chacham, also it's also lefichach. Therefore, when you allow it, when you matter it, it's like a tikkun. We're now learning a chiddush in Hilchos Bechor. When it comes to Bechor, the psak is not just an academic process. The psak is not merely a an academic yediyah. It's just the knowledge. If I could point to the Mishnah Berurah, I wouldn't have to ask anybody. Had I learned yediyah, I would have not. The Psak didn't actually change anything in the matter per se. But when it comes to the Bechor, it's different. The Bechor needs to go the process of a Chochom being matted. The Chochom needs to say, this is fine, and thereby it will be fine. Vayi oir. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. He needs to go through the process. The process itself is part of the Heta. Does that make sense? It's very different.
It's part of the Heta. But what I do would understand if
it's quite similar to what you suggested.
I think it's similar to Hilchos Nagayim, isn't it?
Yes, it very much is. Yeah, absolutely. You need much like that. There you also need the Kohen to tell us to Paskin, so here also it's the same thing. By the way, I just want to point out one thing that we find. I don't know the answer to that. We find there's a whole maseches idios. I don't know if you ever learned this. I didn't. Yeah, I didn't. But it's maseches idios. Or Hoyrius, I think in Hoyrius, sorry, you should probably learn Hoyrius, but I didn't. But there is that whole concept there also that we find that if a Chochem, you ask a Chochem something and he paskin wrong. Pardon? Yes, it is. It is. So that's absolutely it. Absolutely. That whole sugi, that whole parsha. Then we find a subtle the concept there as well a little bit. That if the Chochem paskin something, it's not. It's also to some extent it's a process that you know you although it's not really the same. I'm just thinking now.
Where do you see?
Yeah. Well, because. You give me mechonim. Yeah, so that's all right. So what you are saying is that it's all about we are allowed to rely on him. That doesn't make it in any way. It doesn't mean that that it was kosher in any way. To the what? To the sherry? Yeah.
Where's
the chiddush? Where is it from? Where does Mishabu get it from?
Because it would seem to me. I mean, on the face of it, it sounds like if you knew it had a mum. Let's say it's a. Obvious.
It is, it's
an
horror.
Then why should it need a Chochem to
Paskin?
It's got an obvious problem.
But maybe it's not.
Yeah, but that's.
Maybe there's a
Tzata Heter.
Maybe there's, maybe a Chochem could think of a way out for you that you can't think of.
Yeah, it's not only that. It's not only that the Chochem may know something that you may have missed. It's not only that. It needs that process. It needs that process of actually saying that it is. It is.
Story.
Oh, because of Shagasari, yeah. Oh, because of that, because he paskin like that, like this. Yeah. That's Moedig Meiser. It's a Moedig Meiser. Yeah. Very good story that. So what? Keep going. So you were so once again. Of a minority opinion.
He held that it's not considered a trait if something was wrong with the lung. The guy's lung, so he didn't hold it as a
traitor.
Oh, so
you
look
there, the it's a fascinating story. It's really something to think about. Where did I see this story recently? Yeah. So what you're saying, just so what you're bringing this in this context, that
to a place where the diamonds are more made.
Let's finish off with Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Nun Aleph. Liroy so to see it, v'le'atira and to allow it. Have a liroy is bechoyim, but to just check the bechoyim of the animal, v'le'ayin and to investigate bedino its halacha. So you want to just check it and look into the poskim, into the sforim. You look at the animal and that you look in the Sforim afterwards, that's perfectly in order. As long as you're not paskin to others what the halach is, that's perfectly in order. That's like learning Torah, and that's not also learning Torah is not a problem. So if you're doing it in a learning kind of manner, as opposed to a paskining kind of way, that is okay. Gentlemen, what we've learned this evening is we finished Seif Ches, which taught us to differentiate between oifers and larger animals with regards to Shechit on Yom Tov. Oifers is fine, large animals we refrain because it generally has more percentage of teifers. We said that very recently we started refraining from doing oifers too because of the freezer facilities which exist nowadays. We learned in Sif Tes that a Bechor nowadays cannot be Shechted without a Mum, and therefore we may not show it to a Chochom to show it on Yom Tov as to whether there's a Mum or not. And even if the Chochom did check it and he did see that there is a Mum, he still may not Shecht it. The reason for that is because the process of checking the Mum and paskening that it has got a blemish, that itself is a tikkun, it's a mechzikim esakein, and that is forbidden on Yom Tov. However, this is not to be compared to any other shaylos which you may wish to ask Rav, because there it's just a matter of analytical process which has nothing to do with the factual change of the animal, and therefore that's the difference. However, if you wanted to check the animal and paskin the next day, that is perfectly in order. I wish you a very good evening, gentlemen.